Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. I still have a cough drop in my mouth because I'm still relatively weak on the voice, but it should be okay for tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? The regular chat is dead today. Nicolas Petrich shows up and he says, "Greetings, Breton. Greetings." I'm hesitating at being enthusiastic about Twitter because there are some positive signs coming from Elon Musk, and there are other signs of enormous pressure on him. Will he do the right thing? Will he unban the people that should be unbanned? Hypocrite has been very kind. He has made a kind of definitive list of, I think that if all these people were to be unbanned, I would call it very fair from Elon Musk. There may be a couple of names forgotten, but those are all the independent creators that were free thinkers, and they were banned from Twitter because they were free thinkers. And there's one name missing. It's Keith Woods. Keith Woods should definitely be included in this. But, you know, Milo Yiannopoulos, Stefan Molyneux, Nick Fuentes, Gavin McInnes, Mr. Mittocker, Alex Jones, Owen Benjamin, Laura Loomer, Bronze Age Pervert, Jared Taylor, many others. And he has included me in the list. I'm glad to be in High Hypocrites list. Those are the people I would want to see unbanned. Now, we don't see much of those people unbanned yet, but at least we had Sargon of Akkad. Sargon of Akkad has been unbanned after 5 years. Sargon of Akkad was one of the initial big creators banned from Twitter because he was engaging in trollings of all kinds, talking about interracial sex. Now, amazingly, he was talking about interracial sex and Jews, but he was doing so from the perspective of a leftist liberal, but he was trying to talk like a racist, to make a liberal point against racism. Anyways, that was a very bizarre way to do, but still, shouldn't get you banned. Shouldn't get you banned forever if there was some rules broken. There should be a mechanism to get someone like this who thinks that he hasn't violated the rules back on the platform. So Elon Musk showing some very positive sign with this Sargon of Akkad unbanned, because it looks like they're now digging into the creator, independent creator. And as far as I can remember, Sargon of Akkad was the OG victim of this type of censorship, the Twitter one at least. I don't know, was Jared Taylor before Sargon or after Sargon? I think it was after Sargon. Now, Elon confirms that the censorship that they're seeing that has been done with Twitter has been totally one-sided. It's all against right-wingers. Of course, you and I will not be surprised by this, but it's interesting to see Elon Musk from the top confirming that this is happening, because Dinesh D'Souza was saying, "We don't hear much about Democrats and leftists being let back on Twitter. Why? Because they were never kicked off in the first place. Their lies and misinformation simply escaped all scrutiny. Censorship has been deployed as a one-way operation against conservatives." And Elon Musk has answered to this correct. I'm glad to see that Elon Musk acknowledges the bias, because to fix this bias, you need to acknowledge it. And the past administration wasn't even acknowledging it. They were thinking that they were applying their rules just fairly, but we were seeing blue checkmark leftists appealing for violence against white people, no problem. Some tamer discourse on the side of the right wing would lead you to a ban. Goway says, "Sorry, I'm tired." Well, relax, Goway. It's going to be a chill show tonight. Red Voice Media titles, "The battle between Elon Musk and Alex Jones begins. Twitter isn't going anywhere." That is my fear. If Elon looks at this list and doesn't want to unban at least half of this, then we're not back into free speech territory of any kind. And on top of it, Elon had spoken publicly against permanent bannings. So why isn't it that there's not yet a mechanism for bannings to never be permanent? Quite simple. You have just a ramp back in after a fixed amount of time where you say, okay, let's forget about it. 6 months, 1 month, I don't know. But we're still not there. And now Elon Musk is under increasing pressure because of the advertisers. Advertisers hit the pause button with Twitter. I hope that Elon can see through that kind of bullshit, because we are in a bear market, basically. And in that kind of market, there will be less ads. And companies, again and again in the last few years, have recycled. Instead of making the honest announcement, which is we have no more money, so we can't spend on ads, they cloak themselves into wokeness. They cloak themselves into, we're doing it because of this. Like CBS News, they stopped tweeting, claiming that there were some security concerns. 24 hours later, 40 hours later, something like this, they were back on the platform. They couldn't help but to be back on Twitter. They needed the audience flow. I guess they saw how much it was hurting them. But what companies will do is they will claim that they're doing it for the leftist cause. We're cutting our ads to punish this company. But the reality is they had to cut somewhere. all right. If you would like to support the show, I was reading some question in DM, but I will have to, I will answer that person in private after the show. John Drake says, "Alex Jones' likeness should be incorporated into the Twitter logo as rib. If Musk had balls, he would pull something like this." Well, that's dreaming. That is quite some, that is some dream there. I mean, it wouldn't have to be part of the official logo, but there could be a, like, 1 month long campaign with an image. That would be a beautiful image to kind of cement into the history of Twitter the fact that the oppressed come back and they come back in force. Goway says, "I stopped paying my electricity bill because of climate change." That is what the companies are doing, basically. They are cloaking themselves into a social charitable cause. Will Wheaton is... who's this guy? Is this some Star Wars guy? Will Wheaton. Or is this some random leftist? Or is it both a Star Wars guy and a random leftist? In any case, who cares about what he thinks? But he says, "I cannot it's fascinating to me, because the leftist, they will always perceive what Elon Musk does. Oh, Star Trek. The leftists always perceive what Elon Musk does as a need for attention and power, when what Elon is doing right now is some of the most benevolent thing I've seen a billionaire do in the history of, in my whole life. I have never seen a billionaire just take on a load of crap of that kind just for a principle. It's one of the first principled action I've seen being done outside of my personal life. Like a public person doing something really on principle and paying high cost for it, I've never seen it. Yet the leftists cannot help but see in Elon Musk some evil intent. He says, I cannot fathom the emptiness, the insecurity, the insatiable need for attention and validation, the staggering arrogance, the malevolence, and the total void of human experience that is Elon Musk. He is the richest man on the planet. You can't go anywhere or do anything without interacting with something he's part of in some way. That is kind of ridiculous. In fact, if you stay away from these liberal cities where they charge their Tesla, where they have a queue to charge their Tesla, you can live Elon free pretty quick, let me tell you. There are literal millions of people who uncritically worship him in spite of overwhelming evidence that he's a douchebag. The leftist's favorite term, the douchebag. What does that mean here? Some number of them will come after me as they come after anyone who points at their naked emperor. They will spend their entire days going after me and people like me, slavishly serving a man who does not even know they exist. They are his army of fools, uncritically serving his every whim. And it still isn't enough. He can have any material thing he wants, and he will never be happy or satisfied. He has no real friends. Every single person around him is either a viper, a parasite, or both. Well, what kind of emotional man Will Wheaton must be to be writing all this stuff? Will, you are in front of a keyboard, claiming that Elon Musk has no real friend? Have you ever asked yourself if you have real friends? Your brain on soy, says Nicholas Petrus. Yeah, I guess that is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling the soy emanating. It's like I'm feeling a birth pill dose of estrogen right now. You can have any material thing, okay? And you know, either a viper or a parasite. Well, certainly the employees who are at Twitter right now and who are unbanning Project Veritas, unbanning Sargon of Akkad. Certainly they are neither parasite nor viper. They are just working in line with Elon Musk and what he's asked. There must be some enthusiasm there. So what does he do? He bullies and threatens and harasses and trolls. When you have to use that many and in a sentence, you're getting too emotional and you've lost contact with the communicative purpose of English. And behaves like the weak, scared, insecure child he has always been. That's a tragedy for him, but it's dangerous for us. He doesn't care what he destroys or who he hurts as he chases this existential thing he cannot ever have. Overly psychologized, and what are you really saying? He's pursuing a principle. What you're revealing to me, Will Wheaton, is that you have nothing in your life that is as good of a principle as the one that Elon Musk is pursuing. So you cannot even understand his action. Elon has decided that there was a principle of the internet that was free speech. And this free speech was destroyed by his predecessors. So he took over them, and now he is pursuing this principle hopefully to the end. You know the saying, hurt people, hurt people? He's a hurt person who is hurting our society, making people I care about less safe. The consequences of this one man's midlife crisis are global, and that terrifies me. And so we are down to this conception of psychological safety. Psychological safety has come to be a big pillar of the fight by leftists, because then it allowed them to justify aggression, even preemptive aggression, basically saying we're going to make JF suffer because what JF says could make other people suffer. That's what happens when you apply a harm-based analysis of society. It doesn't work. And that's because our society has never been based on harm-based considerations. If you were to just calculate the net effect of people, you could attain all sorts of calculation. First, are you going to consider their intergenerational effect? Are you going to consider the fact that, oh, if you help that person is going to have babies, his babies are going to suffer, are you going to count the suffering of his babies? That's not a way to make calculations in society, because then you can attribute infinite harm to anyone you want. The way to establish a society is deontological rules. We don't do that kind of stuff because that would break some principles like liberty, non-aggression, etc. Go away, says JF. Will Wheaton has the ultimate manly characteristic, undying loyalty for his cause. Ah, he has the knight's devotion to the princess, except that he switched the princess for the cause of leftism. That's really too bad. That's basically cuckery on the public space. Deadstar sends a super chat. He says, Elon is not the richest man on the planet. His riches are slave to the framework of global banks and exchanges. I don't care about the detail of who would you say is the number one, number two. I think it's undeniable that he has a massive amount of wealth, and if not first, somewhere in the top 10, and that's enough for me. For someone, I will not annoy someone who claims he's the richest man. He is in many ways. Some random blog, do not post that kind of link during the show live, nor any time. I'm going to ban you if you do again, because during a show, not only are you demanding my attention, I have to open a tab, click to check if some random bloke's post violates the rules. And on top of it, I have to watch the clip while I'm entertaining people. Do you realize how much cognitive load you're demanding me? So I'm going to get rid of that problem in my life. I'm going to ban next time I see anything that comes from you that annoys me. Fuck you, some random bloke. Driver in deadly Massachusetts Apple Store crash says his foot got stuck on the accelerator. Attorney says, Bradley Rain, 53, arrested following deadly crash in Hingham, Massachusetts. Well, that was just a news item. So this guy drove into the App Store, basically the Apple Store. And one person has died, 16 injured. And he says his foot got stuck somewhere where the pedal for the accelerator is. And I wanted to do a public service announcement here. What do we do whenever something is stuck on the pedal? He says he has tried getting his other foot to unstuck the pedal and his foot. Didn't work. He then tried using his other foot to brake. That is not what we do. What do we do when the pedal of the accelerator is stuck by either a brick, something, a baby fell there and or a wolf is just pushing on it, or you, your own feet is stuck on it, you take the little shifter, you know. You can go from D to N. You don't even need to click it. You push to N, and when you are in N, it won't matter that you are pressing the accelerator. You'll be able to save lives. You won't need an Apple store to break your car. And on top of it, you have the N brake option also. So you have two options right there that weren't used in this case. I find this appalling. Now he's 53. Maybe he was not fully cognitively reacting, you know, but I would expect... I think we are unfortunately reaching the point where drivers are too stupid, and we're going to see more and more of this. We're not going to be able to take a population that becomes increasingly so stupid and teach them, yeah, you can switch from D to N, and even if your accelerator is stuck, it's going to stop. Amalgam Zero says, lol, turn off the car. Well, turn off the car would be fun, but, you know, some keys of cars cannot be turned off as long as you're on D. So it's not the right... The right emergency measure is to use either the N brake or the D to N switch. D to N switch will remove any acceleration. Shrigadum Fungus says, I'm 2 weeks behind in my JFG Tonight backlog, laughing my ass off. It's good to be here for a live show. Good to see you. I love how the fans of JFG Tonight, they want to watch all of the episodes, even when they miss a week, sometimes 2 weeks like you, sometimes a year. They want to review the whole year. We have very dedicated fans here. So yeah, as far as my conclusion on the Elon Musk stuff, I hope that the advertiser, he will call it out for this bullshit that it is. It's a bullshit moral display. Punish them. Tell them, okay, it's going to cost more when you come back. Punish them for using you to score leftist point. And ignore them. And liberate all of the people that I, hypocrite, has been listing. That is my minimal demand for considering that Elon Musk has done a great job restoring free speech. Sam Bankman-Fried's parents bought a Bahamas vacation home among $121 million in FTX property purchases. Oh my God. He was not only living a lavish lifestyle, he was paying for a home for his parents in the Bahamas. This is what happens when you are in this academic field and your son is using your networking capabilities to build a false empire. You eventually end up benefiting from it. I don't know what were the transfers of money involved. The records showed the condominium cost between $950,000 and $2 million and were bought by Nishad Singh, the former head of engineering at FTX, Gary Wang, an FTX co-founder, and Bankman-Fried for residential use. Hopefully, all of this gets collected as part of the bankruptcy proceeding, but if it's in the name of the parents, there will be a question of what was the money flow that led to their name being on it. Grapes Coda says, good point, steering lock. If you drive a manual, you can just engage the clutch, which completely disengages the engine, basically. Yeah, if he was a manual, then the equivalent of going from D to N would be the clutch. Now, would he be more successful with the clutch than he was with the brake? Doesn't matter. The point is, disconnect the engine. If if there's anything that forces the acceleration, including, you know, I've seen conspiracy theorists claiming that cars are being taken over by satellites. Even that, just put it to end, the satellites loses control. I don't know yet that satellites are able to keep you from reverting the transmission to N. Highlight from first FTX bankruptcy hearing, substantial amount of FTX assets stolen. Dueling Bahamas liquidation comes to a head. So the first hearing was an opportunity to see what was going to be claimed by the parties here. And what we learn is that, you know, this whole hack story where I titled Hacked, they're actually going with this story in court. They're going to claim that, oh, we got hacked. There was much chaos at the moment of the bankruptcy. And in that chaos, hundreds of millions, perhaps billions of dollars disappeared in a hack. They are now declared stolen. Now, in my view, it is pretty clear that the people who have done this are SBF and his surrounding. Are we going to be able to prove it? It seems that the flow of money when it came out of this hack was extremely sophisticated. So, as Zero Hedge was speculating before, very unlikely that the Bahamas government would do this. Because the Bahamas government, you would expect them to transfer from Bitcoin wallet to Bitcoin wallet, whereas apparently it went into DeFi chains, got exchanged on decentralized exchange, got swapped for other tokens. So quite a refined use of the runaway technique here. So the person I imagine doing this is SBF or an engineer near to SBF. But clearly it was a route of money that was planned in advance and executed for the purpose of blurring. It's interesting how they describe it. They say as the chaos of the bankruptcy occurred, FTX was in the control of inexperienced and unsophisticated individuals, and some or all of them were compromised individuals, said James Brumley, counsel to FTX new management, at its debut appearance at the Delaware Bankruptcy Court. So he was saying, basically, there were people in this group that were ready to run with the money. I'm afraid that most exchanges, that must be the case. What is the physical technique? Like I imagine a guy like CZ. How does he hide the keys from his employees? And what if CZ dies? There needs to be a mechanism to recover those keys. How do you tell between your employees that would be loyal and your employees that wouldn't be loyal? I guess you need basically physical fortification systems. You need a system of vaults that no one can open or that people must open in team. I don't know how you would do this. Tillman says, JF, have you seen the new documentary Died Suddenly? It is really freaking scary. I didn't. I don't know that I'm excited at the idea of seeing morticians speculate without statistical evidence and just say, look at how disgusting it is to see a blood clot. And this is a very long blood clot. And it's like, those are dead human bodies. Do I want to watch a documentary about those claims? And there's nothing that I don't know about the arguments around COVID vaccines and the dangers and the VARs. So unfortunately, there's nothing that this film can teach me. So I'm turned off by I'm not gonna watch a film whose cover is about blood clots, which you can't prove is the vaccine. You can just say, oh, in general, I see more of those. And then there's the question. I just wish there was better science addressing this question. And I wish that the social media would stop obsessing with these blood clot mortician story. Because it d doesn't cross the threshold of scientific reporting. If you are a mortician and you want to convince me of something with blood clots, you need to show me numbers. We need to talk about how you selected the people for your study. You need random selection. You need double blind studies. You need that kind of stuff. I get none of this. I get zero of this. All I get is the graphic aggression of my eyes. And Tillman says, Jeff, they are not blood clots. And then that's it. That's it. We're getting into the exact kind of shit that I don't want to get into, and the reason why I won't watch this movie is that, oh, they are not blood clots, Jeff. They are self-assembling electronic components. What's the proof of this? So, oh, look, here's a microscopy f photo. Don't you see something square? How can something be square in a liquid? And then it's like, holy shit. Maybe it's an impurity. Maybe it wasn't even in the vial. Maybe there was a shard of glass from the vial that broke into it. Maybe when you open the vial, that maybe these impurities are present in everything, but you just never looked elsewhere. You looked obsessively at the vaccine and you found one. And then where are your statistics? How many of the vials will have this kind of stuff? I'm so annoyed. Like I don't I'm I cannot be a humanitarian teacher of science to people who are doing science communication. I don't mind educating you guys, the audience, and I do it at times on scientific question. But it's like I cannot watch a movie in which there's error after error. Now you're gonna tell me, Jeff, how do you know that the movie contains these errors if you haven't watched the movie? For the exact same reason that I know I'm not gay without having ever tried gay sex. The exact same reason I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. FTX bankruptcy hearing unveils latest developments in crypto exchange collapse. Attorney says FTX was the personal fiefdom of founder Sam Bankman-Fried. That is no surprise at all to me. Up to now, we have been reviewing plenty of evidence of SBF and how he had transformed this whole Bahamas location into a weird sex cult slash financial process slash other things. I'm taking a lot of pauses. I have to cough sometimes. Tillman says, Jeff, you won't watch it, but you know. Well, I just explained why. CBS roasted for finally confirming authenticity of Hunter Biden's laptop. Gavin Newsom is celebrating. Okay, so the New York Times recognized the Hunter Biden laptop like 1 year after we talked about the story on the internet, and now CBS, 2 years after. It seems they always wait for whatever important election, and then they acknowledge it right after. An absolutely pro-Democrat move here by CBS. Mario says, who benefited from the FTX crash? Binance sold the FTX token FTT, causing the crash. Well, it's hard for me to. It's hard for me to accept this causing the crash term that you used. To say that Binance caused the crash by selling FTT, the thing is, if you have FTT, you have the right to sell them, right? So if you sense that something wrong is coming, you wanna, this is a reality of the market. Everyone wants to be the first seller. If things are going bad, everyone wants to be the first buyer if things are going well. You cannot accuse the first seller and the first buyer to be causing the crash. It's their freedom, and they were right. If someone else had sold the exact same amount of FTT, he would have caused the exact same market unfolding. And in fact, arguably, the market unfolding was inevitable, given that there was just FTT out there and someone was going to sell them. So I don't accept it. Ultimately, FTX fell because it was designed as a drain of money. It was designed as a fraudulent organization. What kind of weakness led to the whole house of card to fall? Doesn't really matter. The house of card was meant to fall. Biden extends student loan repayment freeze as forgiveness program is tied up in court. This is unbelievable, the ultimate lack of power of the Supreme Court. Because here you have the Supreme Court has made a decision. The student loan program, well, I don't know if it's the Supreme Court, but one of the courts along the way have made a decision that you cannot be the president and just decide that the student loan can be reimbursed. It has to be a law. And the representative of the people in Congress must vote for it. So you cannot drop a magic wand like Joe Biden tried doing, which is, oh well, this debt exists, but it doesn't exist anymore, and so ignore its existence. Kind of an executive action of ignoring a debt. But they're doing the exact same thing, but in a temporary way. They are using the strategy of freezing. One of the big problem with this is basically you have the Democrats saying every time we will be in power, you won't have to pay your student debt. Every time the Republicans come back in power, you're gonna have to pay it back. And so it leads to people not even knowing, just knowing what happens for the next 4 years, and then whatever is the next president, we'll see. And it leads to Democrats not being able to honor a collection of this money, a collection of this money, so they can put the government as much in debt as under a Republican administration, but on top of it, they go after people for income tax. They go harder with the IRS. They pay their extra 87,000 agent going after business people and self-employed people and Bitcoin havers. And on the other hand, they're saying to the student population, which we gave you free studies. And on top of it, you don't even have to pay back the small amount that was designated as a student loan. So at this point, it's free money over, it's free studies, free loans, freezed loan, so that you don't have to pay it back. The Democrats will be forever will have to forever vote Democrat because otherwise they will be put in bankruptcy. Philosoraptor says, JF, would a child ever have a tantrum if you don't neglect them? And if they do, would you apply some form of punishment? Tantrums exist. And you don't have to feel responsible for them as a parent. It's just depends on what you mean by tantrum here. But a child starting to scream and cry and not being consolable because they wanted that one thing and you removed it from them, or because they don't know what they want and you try to show them and they can't show you. A kind of crisis of screaming and crying depends on the personality of the child. There are some children that will just never do it, and there are some children that will do it at a very low threshold. Like, they won't need much annoyance to get in that state. Now, there is the more extreme tantrum. The more extreme tantrum would be like perhaps a older child. Here I was thinking of, you know, in the young babies to 2-3 years old. Now, if they are starting to be capable of hitting walls and destroying things, then there would be a tantrum of the most extreme form would be where they are destroying objects and banging on the walls. Rodi Lacid says, a tantrum is usually when the child is testing the boundaries and trying to push the line. Perhaps that is the function. My approach is not punishment, but simply strong ordering to stop. And honestly, it's been working great. Like, I'll just to give you an example. Let's say a child is like, rah, 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 rah. Now, you want to let them express it. You want to hear first, is there an emergency? Are they trying to signify a real need that I need to address? Now, once you've established that there's nothing like this, then they continue, rah, 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 rah. And so now you can ask, okay, is there something that they can't communicate but that I would need to attend to? Do they need a special type of food that they expected but that I didn't give? You can question all and go through the questions. And then you can eventually reach the point, the dead end of your thinking, which is, okay, it's none of this, it's a capricious, and it's been continuing over more than 15 seconds, you know, continuing in a way that is not justified, where you have shown attention, you have shown a willingness to address any of their needs, and then I can say something like, stop! I don't want to hear this kind of noise. And honestly, children of all ages will just stop. It doesn't need to be. I've never had to be any more severe than this. Children are receptive generally, and they will experience this strong voice, the strong stop, as enough to stop. That may not be as easy for parents who are abandoning their child on an everyday basis. But when you are living in a high harmony family, very tight family, with the brothers and sisters and the mother and father at home, most of the time, one of them at least, in that kind of family, just the order to stop is more than enough. And it's not based on an intimidation toward physical violence. It is just that when you ask children to stop, they stop. And I've not had experience of children defying multiple times against this. Grapes Coda says, if you're stern slash assertive with them constantly for every infraction, it stops working. Oh, definitely. I mean, which is why I told you about the loop of questioning. You want to address the needs first. You want to address, is there a solution to this crisis that doesn't re require saying stop hard? So you are sparing your signal, basically. When you spare that signal, you shouldn't need it more than once a day in the worst cases. Really. So yes, I would say spare your signal, but use it wisely and when it's important. The thing is, a child is programmed to be demanding, 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 and it's okay. But at some point, you have to establish that is the moment at which his demand has been heard. It has been addressed. He's just capriciously not satisfied with how it's addressed, but it's been addressed. That's where his noises or her noises become kind of useless, and they must be stopped, and a child will quickly learn, oh, okay, my father doesn't like when I scream for more than 10 seconds, so I'll stop screaming for more than 10 seconds. Black Tie says, this is why fathers are so important. Children respect the deeper voice of the father and also his size and strength. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm having difficulty, passing through every word. I'm speaking slower than usual, so I think we're gonna have to sift through the last news item relatively quickly because I won't be able to do a very, very much longer show today. A fiancé of a January 6 defendant who is in prison and he was in prison and was denied cancer treatment. She speaks out. He was denied basic human rights. Christopher's cancer progressed from stage one to stage three. And it seems that one of the ways they like to punish those January 6 defendants is by not offering them medical services. We have a massive goldfish that was fished. I know that it's always said that, these goldfish can become arbitrarily large. It's like they're not like us where there's a set size that we are that our genes are trying to attain. The goldfish is like, as long as there's food, add it to your belly. That is some big fish. Some random bloke says, hey JF, 2% of young Albanian males have gone to the UK this year alone. In the last 10 years, I read approximately 1 million Albanians have migrated to the EU. Why are Albanians are so poor and unsuccessful compared to other Europeans? Well, I don't know the answer to this question. My guess would be it's the same reason for every country of what they call the Eastern Europe, Baltic area, Mediterranean. I don't believe that these places have ever been massive seafaring empires of the English kind. I don't believe that they've had a colonial history of the kind of, Western European countries taking over America and benefiting from the rise of America. So ultimately, the answer is there. Those are poor countries because the West developed. The West developed in the history of the last 400 years. It had more developmental opportunities that any other place in the world didn't get. Firestarter says, what about Greece, JF? Well, Greece, there's a mix of reason. I mean, first and foremost, Greece wasn't part of the Western colonization of North America, and therefore Greece wouldn't be expected to have the competing power with countries like France, England, and Spain, which all had their benefits and their ways into the colonization of America. And then there's the migration problem, the demographics problem. I look at Greece, I don't see much white people. Elon Musk holds off on Blue verified Twitter launch until high confidence of stopping impersonators. And I'll be concluding on this news item because that's just as much as I can speak tonight. That's another disappointment, and what inspired my thumbnail tonight, Elon is truly hovering between two forces. The advertisers, the ADL telling him, keep people banned. His own principles of the internet telling him, free the people, give them all blue check marks. And coordinated operations to make his work as hard as possible. I hope that he chooses the light side, the side of the internet freedom, or we could call it the dark side. I'd be comfortable with calling it the dark side, but I hope he chooses the right side, the one where Sargon of Akkad has been unbanned, I should be unbanned, unbanned Keith Woods. Keith Woods was not present, by the way, in the list of thinkers from I Hypocrite. I would definitely had him. Unban all these people on that list. That is the only way to restore the internet as it was not so long ago. That's it for That's it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Oh, and Philosoraptor says concerning the Died Suddenly documentary that it was made for normies. Okay, well, one more reason for me not to watch it, right? Thank you.